For those of you who have been here for a while, you just witnessed something amazing, because Drew just moved a music stand without it falling apart. If you remember, you know, at the beginning, every time I would move a music stand, something catastrophic would happen. It would come apart. But so, yay! as I said, it's good to be back with you this morning. We had a really wonderful vacation. It was such a blessing to be able to spend time as a family, to rest, relax as much as possible with children. But they were distracted by things like ice cream, and so it was a restful trip. Our scripture passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. So we're going to begin in verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Who was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you move and work in our lives. We thank you for your ever presence with us. We thank you for the reminders that you are good, that you care about us. So we pray this morning that you would be reminding us again of your presence in our lives, that you would be opening us up to the truths that you have for us, that you'd be opening our minds and our hearts, that you'd be leading us in our actions, that all that we learn today would be used to glorify you. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. So we are continuing in our series, Questions That Jesus Asked. This is our summer sermon series. Focusing on questions that Jesus asked. Frequently in Jesus' teaching, he would teach by asking questions. Sometimes even in response to other people's questions, Jesus would ask questions in return. And more often than not, the questions that Jesus asked led people into thinking about the things that Jesus was most concerned about. Or in other words, the questions that Jesus asked frequently were in alignment with his heart. And so as we explore these questions that Jesus asked, it helps us to get in touch with the things that Jesus cared the most about. And so in today's passage, Jesus heals these men, but the healing that Jesus is talking about here is important, but what he's hoping that we maybe learn here is a spirit of thankfulness or gratitude. The world that we live in these days, it seems that it is frequently easy to find people who are complaining. Maybe they're complaining about the weather. Maybe they're like me and they're complaining about their children. Or maybe they're complaining about politics or the person who cut them off in line. Maybe they're complaining that the grocery store is out of something. Whatever it is, I think all of us find opportunities to find reasons to complain. I was reminded of this on our vacation. My family, we were blessed to be able to go on a cruise. We did a Caribbean cruise. It was supposed to have 4 stops. But on the evening that we departed out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, about 11 o'clock at night, the captain came on and made an announcement. He said, "I'm sorry to disturb everyone, but I need to make you aware that there is a medical emergency where we have to turn back to meet the Coast Guard." that there was a person that needed to be treated immediately for their condition. It was a life-threatening condition. So the boat turned around and traveled 3 hours back towards Fort Lauderdale, where a Coast Guard helicopter met the ship, and the person was airlifted off of the ship. But it resulted in this six-hour detour. And because of that six-hour detour, our first destination was canceled. They said that we needed to continue to sail on to our second destination. And Salisa and I were a little bit bummed because that happened to fall on Elliot's birthday, my son Elliot. And so we had activities planned for while we were there, you know, things that we thought would be special for him and that our whole family would enjoy. And so we were a little bit disappointed that maybe we weren't going to be able to do those things. But then we began talking about how the rest of the trip is going to be a lot of fun. And last year, when Salisa and I did an Alaskan cruise, one of our stops was canceled as well, and we had a wonderful time. And so we began focusing on the positive. But very quickly, we noticed as we were around the ship at dinner and in various places, the number of people who were complaining and the number of people who were just deeply upset that their vacation had now been ruined because they were only going to have 3 stops instead of 4 stops, and that was, you know, the stop that they were most looking forward to. And I really don't think that they were bad people. I don't think that they had connected all of the dots and that, you know, a person's life was saved. They were just focused on themselves. They were focused on their experience, their trip, and they forgot to think that a person's life had been saved. But nonetheless, it was this reminder for me that we live in a world where people are frequently self-focused and frequently find opportunities to complain about things. Recently, I heard a Christian comedian, and he said that when his wife and he first were married, they found common ground on the things that they liked or the things that they loved, that they drew closer together on their common loves. But he said, I now know that I've reached a point of maturity in our marriage because now the things that draw us together are the things that we don't like, the things that we complain about together, the things or the people. And really frequently we find opportunities to find commonality with other people, and not only the things that we don't like, or that we do like, but the things that we don't like. You can have a wonderful conversation with a stranger simply by complaining about the weather. That, man, it sure is hot today. Or, man, we need some more rain, or we've had too much rain, or isn't it cold, or we live in Kansas. But Jesus, in this passage today, is really hoping that his followers, as they gain a better understanding of who he is and what he does in their lives, will move away from this spirit of complaining and into a spirit of gratitude. So let's pick up in this story. So Jesus is traveling, which is frequent of Jesus' ministry. He traveled from place to place, ministering to various people, teaching, healing, feeding, leading. And so he's traveling, and he comes through this unnamed village on the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And there these 10 men cry out from a distance, Jesus, have mercy on us. These 10 men with leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease that caused the skin to rot and open sores, and there'd be decay, and sometimes even to the point where people would lose like ears and noses and fingers and things like that. They were considered not only contagious and unclean in that sense, where leprosy was easy to spread. If you touched somebody, they were likely to contract leprosy. But they were also considered spiritually unclean. And so culture and common sense dictated that people with leprosy needed to stay far away. They lived separately, outside of town, frequently in places specially designated for people with leprosy. And so out of respect for who Jesus was, it's from a distance that they're crying out to Jesus, save us, help us. And this is not the first time that Jesus has been asked to help someone with leprosy, or the first time that Jesus has helped somebody with leprosy. He broke through numerous, cultural, societal, common sense, barriers when he healed a leprous man by touching him and saying, "You are healed." In this case, Jesus works a little bit differently in the lives of these 10 men. He responds immediately, but he responds with a very different response here. He says, "Go and present yourselves to the priests, and you will find healing." Now, this is what the law has said, that when a person is unclean, that they are to present themselves to the priest, and the priest would lead them through the necessary sacrifices and rituals in order to find themselves clean. The interesting thing, though, with a person with leprosy is that the priest would be leading them into this spiritual cleanliness with the hope that God would then bless them and would heal them physically. But more often than not, people with leprosy continued to have leprosy. And so as they were to go and present themselves before the priests, they would have gone through these processes of sacrifices and ritual washings and cleansings, and they would have found themselves made spiritually clean, but only momentarily, because immediately they would be reminded that they still had leprosy, that it still made them unclean. And so as Jesus commands them to go and present themselves before the priests, it would have required these men to have not only an enormous amount of courage, but an enormous amount of faith. That somehow, that this time, maybe as they presented themselves before the priests, that there would be something different that happened. And so out of their courage and their great amount of faith, they went. And as they went, even before they reached the priests, they were cleansed. They were made well. They were physically healed of their leprosy. Now, of the 10, only one, as he recognized his healing, decided to turn back and give thanks. And this man was a Samaritan, and as many of you know, as we've talked about before, the relationship between the Jews and the Samaritans was not a good one. It was a relationship of anger, of hatred, generational anger. For the Jews, it was considered that you would become unclean to be in contact with somebody who is a Samaritan. They were impure, unholy. They worshipped a different way. They were to be in the presence of a Samaritan, let alone touch them or talk to them, made them unclean. So here we have this man who not only is held at a distance because of his ethnicity or his race, but has been held at a distance because of his sickness. So far away, that as he's reaching out to Jesus, he's calling from a distance. But here we see this man who has been made clean. His leprosy has been removed from him, and his entire life is now changed. He's able to go back to his family. He's able to sit down and have a meal with them. He's able to go to temple and to worship there. He's able to experience more than just a moment of cleanliness. He's able to be human again. And so in this joy, he returns to Jesus. He's praising God. And then it says he falls at the feet of Jesus and he thanks him. And this is a sign, this is a humbling posture. To fall at somebody's feet, the feet were frequently considered the most dirty part of a person's body. But this man, he knows how dirty that he has been. And so he falls at the feet of Jesus and he thanks him. And Jesus here picks up with three questions. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And these questions were not rhetorical. The expectation of, you know, is that if you give somebody something, that there is some measure of thankfulness. That you say, thank you. I remember as a child my grandmother and my mother trying to instill in me the importance of writing thank you notes. That whether it was for something great or small, that it was you were supposed to write a thank you note for gifts that you had received. They are probably somewhat dismayed in that it didn't stick with me as well as they would have liked. But it's something that, you know, that has kind of almost fallen away in our culture, this idea of writing thank you notes. But we can kind of identify with Jesus here, because I think we've all had those opportunities where we've given someone something and it seems like it's maybe taken for granted, or where they don't fully appreciate it, or we haven't received a thank you. And it kind of, it hurts in a way. And so Jesus is, he's like, where's everybody else? Were they not healed too? And so there's this deadly problem here. And that for those other 9, that God was not the center of their gratitude. That they weren't thankful to God for what had happened. They were thankful. They were overjoyed. They were celebrating. But they didn't recognize that God was at the center of their healing. Even for this Samaritan man, as he returned, he said he gave thanks to God, and then he gave thanks to Jesus. He did not yet fully understand that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God. And so there's this separation that frequently people who do not understand the gift that God is, who he is, and what he extends to us, it is difficult for them to have God at the center of their gratitude. But Jesus says, as you follow me, as I choose you, as I gift to you the gifts of eternal life, of blessing, and you draw close to me, I should become the center of your life, and out of that center, gratitude should emerge. That because of what has been given to you, the natural response to that gift is to say, thank you. And Jesus, he then says to the Samaritan man, he makes this, you know, this sovereign pronouncement, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. And this is a multifaceted type thing. Because initially, the Samaritan's faith was the faith to go in before the priests. And that faith healed him of his physical infirmity, the leprosy. But as he returned to Christ and he fell at the feet of Christ and he began to gain this understanding of who Christ was, there is this another extension of healing. That Jesus was not only concerned with his physical illness, but his spiritual illness. That Jesus was reaching deeper inside of this man, seeking to change his heart. So when we say your faith has saved you, it has a deep and significant meaning. For some, they would like to think that this man was saved because of his response, that because he returned and offered thankfulness, because he did something, he was saved. But what Jesus is communicating here is that he was already saved, And because of that salvation or that healing, he then offered thanks. And so it's important to recognize here that people are not saved by like disposition or the things that they do. Their disposition and the things that they do should be done in response to their salvation. So as people of faith, our praise is meant to be radically Christ-centered. Saving faith does not just vaguely give glory to God the Father. Hearts of faith, right at the core of what we believe should be the belief of what Jesus has done for us. So we, like this leprous man, have things in our lives that make us appear unclean before God. All of us have sin. All of us have areas in our life that we are not proud of, or areas in our life that don't match up with God's expectations. All of us have areas or moments where we have fallen short of what God calls us to be or to do. We all are sinners. And so in many ways, we are like the Samaritan man in need of healing. And like the Samaritan man, initially, we are granted this distant hope. You know, the Samaritan, he said, go to the temple and be clean, cleansed, make yourself holy before God in the hopes that one day you will be healed. And we have that hope. We have a similar hope, that one day all things in this wicked, unwell world will be made whole and be healed. We have that hope of that future, that promise. But sometimes that's hard to cling on to. Sometimes in this moment, we want more than that. And so what Jesus is telling the Samaritan man, and what he's telling us now, is that you have more than that. Do you not understand that right now I am moving and working in your life, offering healing, offering to change you, to radically transform your life so that you can be in right relationship, not only with the world, but with your Savior and your God? That right now, in this very moment, that Jesus Christ desires to step into your life, to begin to transform you from the inside out in order that you might be in right relationship with Him. That you are already saved, and everything that comes after that is a response to it. And Jesus is saying, I want your response in this world because of what I have done to be a spirit of thanksgiving. And so, yes, we live in a fallen and a broken world. We live in a world where it is easy to find things to complain about. There's an awful lot of them. At times, our world is downright scary. But what Jesus is communicating here is where our focus should be. This Christ-centered focus, that time and time again, that we are to return to the feet of Christ and to thank Him. Time and time again, I've said in front of you the power that a smile can have. That simply smiling at somebody can change their day and potentially their life. That a smile can begin the conversation that allows you to introduce somebody to Jesus. And if a smile has that much power, imagine how much power is held in a life of positivity and a life of thankfulness. Especially in the midst of a world that is continuously complaining, that is continuously seeking out the things of this world that are dark and depressing and not quite right. Imagine that as you live in this world and you offer continuously a spirit of thankfulness, how even in the midst of strangers, you can have an influence. How maybe you can begin to open their eyes up to the wonderful things of this world and the gifts that God has for us. That as we offer thanks, even in the midst of difficulties, even in the midst of a world that is not quite as what we know that it should be, we are able to offer thanks because we know what Christ has done. Christ, he reminds us time and time again of the things not only that he has done throughout the course of history, but what he has done in our lives personally. The transformation that is taking place. And he moves and works in our way and in our lives in such a way that we know and understand him to be real. That we can grasp onto the reality of our salvation. Because as Christians, as we look back, we see the evidence of the change in us. We see the healing that has taken place, that we are no longer the same people. And as we look at that and we identify the power that Christ has had in our lives, it motivates us to respond in the thankfulness, to thank God for what he has done for us and what he can do for others. And so we are invited to bring our praise to God through Jesus because of what Jesus has done. And so that is my encouragement for you this morning. As you engage in this world, yes, we have much that we could complain about. We have things in our world that we should be motivated to change. But we are also called to be a people who have a spirit of thankfulness. And this isn't a call to ignore those bad things or to dismiss them or to pretend that they don't exist. It's not a call to do that at all. It's a reminder that there are plenty of things out there that are bad. But there is a thing out there that is greater than them all, and he is good. His name is Jesus Christ, and he wants to be in relationship with you. And that is reason for our joy, reason for our thankfulness. And as we come to know and understand and we recognize that the relationship with him and what he offers us far surpasses anything that this world could throw against us. That is our joy. That is our hope. And that is what we hope to communicate to the world around us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much that you move and work in our lives every day. I pray that you would help us to have a spirit of thankfulness, a spirit of gratitude, that it is easy to get bogged down in the negative. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes on a daily basis to the things that are good, the things that are of you, the reminder of who you are, and that we would remember it in such a way that we would live it and minister in the lives of other people. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.